Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month, I interview a MaxList reader who found a job they love. Our guest today is Heather Back. She's a communications and policy manager at Metro. It's the regional government for the Oregon portion of the Portland metropolitan area. Heather Back knows the discouragement and disappointment that can come from a long job search. She spent 2 years looking for the right job. In a story you can find on the MaxList website, Heather credits her success to a change in strategy. She began sharing her goals with others, networking often, and not settling for the work she'd done in the past. Heather, why do you love your job?
I have the perfect job for me. I love travel and tourism, and to be able to provide a great community benefit, which our four visitor venues certainly do.
And let's talk about your job search and that brought you to Metro. You looked for 2 years, Heather, and that's a long time. What was the biggest challenge as you were going through that search?
Yeah, the first thing is I had moved from another market and moved for a position that was not the right fit for me. And so in the time that I was searching, I was working and I was consulting, but I was really looking for the thing that would just light my soul on fire, so to speak. And I would say the biggest thing, it's hard to network when you're brand new to a new community. So I thank you and your team for some great networking events that you held for in-person sessions, and also HR professionals that would give key tips. What I faced in this particular job search that was the greatest challenge for me were the resume scanning software that is now so common. And earlier on in my career, it was much more about meeting someone individually, making connections within an organization, and opening the doors. And institutions like Metro, government agencies, and others, that is actually not the pathway for success for entry. Part of the interview process is very formalized, and you start by those search engines looking at your resume. So treating yourself almost like your resume, like a search engine optimization project, is probably a great way of looking at it, and making sure that the terms that are used in every job posting are in your resume. And it sounds simple when you say it that way, but if you're not meeting those benchmarks, it can really be quite a challenge.
How did you figure that out, Heather? Did you teach yourself? Did somebody coach you? Who solved the puzzle for you?
Oh, 100%. That was a trick that I learned through MaxList, through your podcasts and your sessions and your one-on-one sessions with folks who are looking for positions. So to some degree, I was doing it, but I wasn't doing it with tremendous honed success. I would say in general, I am accustomed to being behind the scenes and marketing and promoting organizations and leaders. That's been my career path. So doing that for myself has always been a challenge. At getting some key tips from yourself and others on how to unabashedly do that in a way that is very successful. First, getting clear on what your intentions and what you're looking for. And some of the traditional things I have done as far as hone in on the exact organization you want to work for or with and why, and starting in that way. And then this became just one of the steps in the process versus a roadblock, which is what it was feeling like for a while.
And you mentioned that in the organization you work at now, there's, in addition to using an applicant tracking system, there's a structured hiring process with formal interviews. How did you learn how to navigate that world? Because that's common among larger employers, and it can seem impenetrable from the outside.
Yeah. So I think don't be afraid to ask the HR person who's scheduling the interview as many questions as they're willing to share. So finding out who's going to be on your interview panel, so you can do some research and find out who those individuals are and maybe what perspectives, what values and priorities they have. Building rapport instantly with a big group is more challenging, and you're trying to make eye contact with everyone in the room, some of the basic things. But I think really trying to figure out, if I could do it all over again, I would have asked the HR manager that was setting me up for this interview, how many questions approximately will I be asked in the time frame that I have? Because you as the applicant are trying to gauge how long you should talk and just how deep you should go into certain examples and real world experience that you have. And in interviews like this, they're really precluded and not able to give you a follow-up or give you any clues that in a more informal setting you might be able to get. So if you know exactly how many questions are going to be in that time frame, you can kind of garner how long should you answer each individual question so that you're not being so succinct that you're not giving the breadth of your knowledge and experience, and you're not being so long-winded that they're not able to get all of their key questions answered.
In addition to asking those questions of the hiring manager about who's going to be in the room, their names, how many questions you might have to respond to, were there other steps that you took to prepare for this very formal interview process and structured hiring process?
Yeah, certainly I did as much research on all four venues as I possibly could. So that would be the Oregon Convention Center, the Oregon Zoo, Portland 5 Theaters for the Arts, and also Portland Expo Center. What my traditional experience had been was more marketing and public relations. And this particular position involves a lot of public affairs and policy work as well. So doing some homework on what does that really mean and what is the governance of a venue? It's actually a very unique model. Metro's the only directly elected regional government in the entire country. So that in and of itself is quite unique. And so to take these venues and outlets that typically are either a for-profit or a nonprofit perhaps, and put it under a government umbrella, I knew there was a lot that I didn't know. And so I did as much research as I could, and I looked for directly transferable experience to these particular roles and responsibilities.
You mentioned at the start of the conversation that some of the job search methods, like trying to network inside the organization, weren't as effective at an organization like Metro because it has a very formal hiring process. What were those methods that weren't effective, and what did you do to replace them or do instead?
Yeah, once the jobs are posted, you literally cannot talk to applicants. And so sometimes that's even interesting now that I'm within the organization, because by nature, you want to help others that you know are a really good fit, but it's not something that you can do in these kinds of settings. So I think the key thing is to just go through every public document, record, annual report, all websites and social channels, of course, and really do all the due diligence and get all the information that you can. If you know you have your eyes set on an organization like this, you can have an informal coffees and conversations with folks when there aren't positions open. But it is very unique, and it means that you just have to have the confidence that you are the right person for the position, and to tell your story as to why and why it's the position you're seeking, I think, are just standard things to go back to.
You mentioned that you were new to the Portland market when you started looking for this job. How did you build your network in a town where you were a newcomer? What worked for you, Heather?
Yeah, it's the funniest thing. When I was leaving San Diego to come to Portland, of course, everyone told me how much the weather would be such a shock and so different. So that was not a surprise. What was a surprise is after 19 years in a market where I had so many relationships, there literally was almost no place that I needed to network or connect with that I didn't have someone that I knew in that organization. So starting anew in a new place is, you know, it is like throwing away your Rolodex and every contact in your phone. And so, you know, slowly but surely, I reached out to individuals in various companies and organizations. I went to any place that had sort of lunch and learns. Nike has a great one for their corporate and social responsibility, a monthly luncheon that anyone can come. So I just continue to put myself out there and go to as many types of events like that. I tried to stay away from events that were solely or predominantly folks looking for positions, because that's not a way to stand out. I tried to find places to network with like-minded individuals and companies that were really connected to community. I think that's the things that go through all of my experience in my career are directly supporting community and really tethered to how travel and tourism drive the economy in a region. So those were my targeted areas. I did connect with philanthropic organizations, and I also really tried to connect more with Travel Portland, Travel Oregon, and some hotel and motel associations.
And these were all organizations and events that were connected to your career goals, weren't they?
That's right.
You talked in your article for our website about that change in strategy, because your job search wasn't moving along at the rate that you'd hoped. What inspired you to change your strategy and do something different?
Yeah, it's easy to say now that I'm glad it happened the way that it did. It's, and in the heart of it, I probably didn't feel that way. But I have been someone who's been very laser focused in my life and my career. And so in many ways, when I moved to Portland, I wanted to open up my perspective and have opportunities to experience other projects that might not have been right in my laser focus. So during my consulting time, I picked passion projects that weren't necessarily as lucrative as they were just soul fulfilling. And when I started to look for the career that what I was really looking for is, where's a place that I would be happy retiring at? And I have to say, I never had that particular key focus in my job search until this particular one. So that meant a lot of things. It meant, you know, an organization had a great benefits package, and a lot of components. So I really was pretty specific in what I was looking for, but going from, you know, the camera lens being really focused in on dialed in on things to intentionally broadening and doing various projects and then honing back to what I saw as a common thread it took me a while to get clear on that. And what I started to see were the commonalities in each position. So I find working for many organizations in your career can be really valuable, gives you a broader tool set and toolkit. Years ago, you may have spent, you know, a whole career in one or two places. And I have had the opportunity to work with great organizations. Some of them have commonality, some of them have intersectionality. But when I was first starting my job search, they felt a little disparate. And I needed to rebrand myself and also have the common story of what connected the various positions. So it really took that that focus. And part of what I did was ask key people that I trusted, my sort of cabinet, if you'll call it, individuals that I know me well, have asked questions and get real honest feedback of my strengths and where I could be better. So my weaknesses and where they see me really sort of light up and be excited about my work. And so kind of a 360, an informal 360, helped me kind of refocus back into what exactly I was looking for in this search. And as soon as I did that, the job search time frame was much, much quicker.
And what inspired you to ask for that 360? Was it a frustration with the length of time your search was taking? Was it uncertainty about your goals? What was the clarifying moment there?
I think it was an awareness that I wanted to see how others saw me and not just how I saw myself. I mean, we can be sometimes our toughest critic, and perhaps not see our own blind spots. So through just awareness of, I wanted to really have feedback that I may not see in and of myself. And so it really was the most enlightening part of my search.
How did you organize that 360 feedback? Did you have a model in mind, or did you have someone coach you?
Yeah, great question. I've always watched individuals in their careers that I sort of considered a mentor or I admired, or perhaps they were further along in their career and had a trajectory of where I thought I might be leading. And I've always done that. So individuals that I saw in positions that I might be interested in, I would always kind of research how they got there, what was their career path. And I have a list of those folks from San Diego and here, and continue to watch and monitor and actually each year try and pick 3 to 5 individuals that you follow, their career or what they're doing, the philanthropic work that they're doing, just out of interest and inspiration. And so that list of relationships that I'd built over a long period of time was the closest sort of mirror back to my work and my connectivity. And some had actually worked with me. And one, in fact, was a career coach of mine in the past. So different perspectives, but definitely people that I admired and trusted the feedback that they would give me.
So these were the people that you asked to provide the feedback. What model did you use? Did someone give you an example, or did you create your own model?
I kind of did it on my own. Like, that's what I mean by informal. I sat down and wrote down questions of what would I ask myself, you know, if I were going to be interviewing myself and really trying to get a good assessment, almost like an annual review. And perhaps some of the questions that career coaches had asked me when they first met me. I've had two in my career. I've worked with two different career coaches. So I looked at the questions that they asked me to get a perspective of my goals. And I wrote those down and I kind of modified those a bit. And then I just reached out to a few people and said, would you be willing to either you know, give me these answers in writing, or can we do a quick call to just talk through? And a few individuals were my former supervisors as well. So they were quite willing to give me that feedback. Not always easy to hear.
And why was that such a clarifying event for you? What did you get out of that that helped you shorten your search and get you to a job that 2 years later, or several years later now, you continue to love and thrive in?
Yeah, today I can be very vulnerable and honest about it. When you're looking for that long and you're not getting results, I mean, up until this job search, I truly had never been on a job interview that I didn't get an offer. And in this job search, I made it to the final three candidates four times and didn't get the final offer. And so with that sequence, then you wonder if it's going to happen again. And I really needed some wind in my sails, and I needed a boost. I was questioning the things that I do feel like are my core strengths. I was even questioning those because of this. So that's specifically why I needed it. And I found individuals that knew me at different parts of my career were actually the best inspirations of seeing my true self and my strengths in different parts of my career again, which I'd almost forgotten about, quite frankly.
And how did that information that you got from these people who knew you well put that wind back into your sails? Why did it make a difference?
You know, it's just easy to, I think it's human nature. We always look on how we can be better, what we wish we would have done better. And sometimes the things that come easy and therefore we're really good at, we sort of take for granted and we don't necessarily give them the chutzpah that they deserve. And so I really think that's what it was. You know, having that reflection back of certain challenges or something that to me seemed like it wasn't challenging because I was enjoying it. I think those moments, what really was the most insightful was what others saw as great successes, I saw as easy because it was work I was really passionate about. And so this process helped me see that. I could see the work that was quote unquote a breeze because it's where I was passionate. When you're doing something that you love, time goes by. You know, it doesn't feel like work. It really feels you're inspired and you're uplifted while you're doing it. And so the process allowed me to see, wow, that really is the type of work, these different areas. When it was connected to community, there was a philanthropic or a community benefit at the end was really important in a lot of instances. And truly, branding and communications and marcom is really where I light up. The policy work is not quite as fun, but it's so important for our venues and the governance that we have. So it gave me a better perspective of the portfolio of where marketing comes in, PR comes in, and the policy and public affairs.
So you got these insights, and then what happened next? You got an offer in just a few months. Is that right?
I did. I actually, just very quickly after one of your semi-private sessions that you do with folks, I had four interviews in a matter of about a month and a half and had offers from two of those four and ultimately chose this position. The other position was at the Oregon Community Foundation. So both exceptional opportunities. I felt that Metro probably had the greater opportunity to influence the community and have new opportunities in my career.
Well, it's been a great conversation, Heather. What's your number one job hunting tip?
Wow. I think number one is to really get clear on what you want. And when I say that, I mean not just the industry and the sector, but the type of culture. Do you want to have a team that you're managing? Would you rather manage by influence and be sort of a contributor and more autonomous? There's a long list of things that I think are really important, and discerning if a core organization is communication and marketing focused, if they're finance focused. Each institution has sort of its own wiring and quote unquote social norms. I think, you know, I've now worked in for-profit, nonprofit, and government. I haven't worked in education, but each has its own nuances, and really seeing what that culture is and if it's the right fit for you is the most important thing to know if it's going to be a long-term fit and a great position for you.
Well, Heather, thank you for sharing your story. To learn more about Heather Back's job search, visit maxlist.org/stories. And check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories. On the second Friday of every month, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who has found a dream job. Go to maxlist.org/stories. In the meantime, thank you for listening to today's bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job.